The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Also listening to us on 88.1 WSBR in Lee, Lennox, and Stockbridge. You're watching us on Access Pittsfield Channel 1301 and on the PCTV Select app, and we're glad you're here this morning with us. It's Friday, February 13th. Yes, we got a Friday the 13th on our hands, one day before Valentine's Day. I hope you've made some arrangements for that already. If you haven't, you know you got to get busy today for sure. It's going to be a nice day out there. No snow from what I've seen in the forecast. Not a big amount of snow anyway, if there is. No more 18 inches in the forecast, at least for the next week that I've seen. So we'll dodge that. We're still dealing with the last 18 inches on the snowbanks and everything, and it just doesn't seem to stop snowing. It just, you know, an inch here, an inch there, and you got to keep shoveling it. Jeez, it is what it is, right? It's the winter of 26. Well, we've got a great show coming up for you today. We have Carolyn Valley. She is the CEO of Central Berkshire Habitat for Humanity, and we're going to be talking about something called VITA. You may have heard us talk about that on the show in the past, and of course, it is tax season already. Here we are. If you haven't started thinking about that, you also might want to, get your mind in gear there and get your paperwork together and all the other things. But VITA is a really important service that Habitat for Humanity offers. We're going to talk all about that and the qualifications and all kinds of other things that go along with that. Also, there's some great things that Habitat is doing right now. You may have seen it if you're on social media watching them. There's some fantastic stuff. We're going to talk all about that in the show today. Looking forward to it with Carolyn. So first, let's get to our weather forecast from the National Weather Service and see what we have in store for us today.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, sunny, cold with highs in the upper 20s. Northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Wind chill values as low as 2 below this morning. Tonight, mostly cloudy. Cold with lows around 12. West wind 5 to 10 miles per hour, becoming southwest after midnight. Saturday, partly sunny. Highs in the mid 30s. West wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Gusts up to 25 miles per hour in the afternoon. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Yeah, see, right now it's a little bit of that breeze that makes it feel cold, but right now it's only 11, I see. We're kind of getting used to those single digits and very low temperatures in the morning. That seems like almost no problem at all anymore, considering what we've been through. But the day's getting a little warmer. The days are getting lighter. I notice when I drive now to do the show on Thursday and Friday mornings live here in the studio, I'm not going, you know, dark when I leave the house and dark when I get back. I'm getting a little bit of grace there, which is kind of nice, right? So we have hope as things are getting closer to springtime. We'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll see how that goes. So Carolyn Valley, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here this morning.
Thanks for having me. And this makes Friday the 13th a good day because I'm here with you.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
We like, I don't buy into the Friday the 13th. I forget about it pretty easily, but I know there some people are really, really focused on it, right?
Yeah, some people are.
Yeah,
yes.
Not for me, no. Day before Valentine's Day, we'll think of it that way today.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, Habitat for Humanity, lots of things going on. We're going to talk about VITA. Just give us a brief overview of all the things your organization does, because certainly we have all in our minds what Habitat for Humanity is and does, but we don't think about all of the things specifically that you do and this organization does right here in Berkshire County.
Sure, love to do that. So everybody knows about our home building programs, our selling of homes at an affordable price, right, and affordable mortgage. That's accompanied by working with volunteers and the people that are purchasing the homes. We also do financial education and coaching, which is how we got involved in VITA. So VITA is Volunteer Income Tax Program. It's done by trained IRS certified volunteers, and many of them have been doing it for many, many years. And if you make your family income is under $69,000 a year, you qualify to have your taxes done for free.
Family income
is $69,000 or less. And we have it where you can make an appointment, or the one that seems to be most popular is where you take an intake form, drop your stuff off, just like if you went to an accountant.
Yeah.
You pick it up, you drop your stuff off. We have a copier there, so if you need copies. Mm-hmm. And then a tax preparer prepares it. They call you back to review it, mm-hmm. and then they file it electronically mm-hmm. for you. So it's a very good process. It's a very quick process, and I think people really enjoy dropping it off. But there are some people that they're not comfortable with that. So we have mm-hmm. some volunteers that love the face-to-face interaction, mm-hmm. so they'll meet with the people. So yeah. it's just a wonderful service that is. We're just so excited that we can bring this to Berkshire County.
It feels like COVID and the whole pandemic scene changed a lot of how everything, of course,
yeah.
but the way people approach getting their taxes done. Because during that time, a lot of the places were, the doors were closed,
yeah.
and the employees were in there and doing their thing, but they didn't want to, you know, have people come in and sit down in the traditional way.
Correct.
You know, sort of plop all their paperwork there and answer the questions or whatever. So that seems to have changed the model a little bit, right?
Yeah, I think it also has allowed us to be able to do more, because it takes longer when you're sitting and going through it, and you still, yeah. I mean, the volunteers, if they have a question, they'll still call. Mm-hmm. But the biggest thing is making sure that you look at the list of documents that you need to bring. Like, you have to bring your Social Security card mm-hmm. or your ID. And mm-hmm. The thing that people are still not getting, I think, early enough is the health forms showing mm-hmm. that you had health insurance, which is yes. really critical for your state.
That's a requirement.
That's right. a requirement. Yeah. So if you had it, if you didn't, mm-hmm. then, you know, they have to deal with it yep. in a different way.
That would be a requirement no matter what, whether you were filing for yourself, trying to plod yep. through it, either, you know, on your own in paperwork or using some tax software or something. Or
exactly.
if you're, you know, taking advantage of the VITA services.
Correct. Yeah. That's absolutely true. And then the other thing that we're pointing out to people this year is the tax code has changed. Mm. And they actually have a new W-4 for 2026 that takes into consideration a lot of things, like if you're a tipped employee, and there is also a tax estimator. So you can go in and put your information in, and it'll give you an idea of what your withholding should be. Mm. And you can fill out a new form and give it to your employer,
mm-hmm.
because your employer can't just arbitrarily figure that out for you.
Right.
I know I'm the one who does it for us. So I was like, hey, everybody, you have to do this, because if you're usually looking at what is your withholding, excuse me, mm-hmm. you may see like, hey, wait, they're not taking out quite as much as they did before.
Yeah.
It's not because we chose to do that. It's because the way it works.
And so nobody likes the surprise at the end of the year, right? That's
correct.
The big thing. So getting that changed might be, and especially like if anything happens during the year, you have some circumstances change.
Yep.
Maybe you have, you know, students that have dropped off your taxes or whatever, no more yep. dependents or, you know, things like that. Or you change jobs or, you know, any of those things, anything that your income is going to change.
Exactly.
That could certainly impact that. So getting the W-4 in, that would affect next year's taxes,
correct.
Right? The 26 taxes.
But I always like, the smart time to do it is when you're getting your taxes done,
yeah.
because it's on your mind.
Right.
So we actually have forms at the office, too.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
That's all right.
So we, and I think right now it's a 6-page thing for you to go over and look at, and there's charts and stuff.
Oh, it's nice that it's simple.
Yeah. Yeah, you know. And oftentimes when you're getting your taxes done, you can even ask the VITA person, hey, based on what you're seeing, is there anything I should change? And then they're not going to do that form for you, but they'll at least say, yeah, you definitely want to do it because it's different.
Yeah.
So,
and doing your taxes can be very intimidating,
yes.
I guess is the word, right? I mean, and it shouldn't be.
It should not be.
But that is the way our system works.
Exactly.
Especially for some folks that maybe don't have the full training to be able to do it and know that they have to do it. This is a service, again, the qualifications you've got are $69,000 of family income or under,
yeah.
but also for folks with disabilities, right?
Yep.
And for elderly as well.
And elderly and non-English speakers.
Mm-hmm.
So on Mondays, we have a volunteer that's there who speaks French. So if you're a French speaker, Monday's a perfect day to come in and drop your stuff off. And then we have a Spanish translation as well. And I think we also can do some in Portuguese.
Wow.
So.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really a great service for folks because those refunds oftentimes make such a big difference in low to moderate income people's lives.
Right. Like,
that's how they pay their car insurance for the year.
Yeah.
That's how they get a down payment for a house, right?
Yeah, it might be the single largest influx of money in at one moment for the entire year for someone.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
And, you know, there's still the earned income tax credit, and those can generate really good problem-solving dollars.
Now, supposedly, from what I've heard about the tax laws and the bill that was passed last year, some of those changes have come through. Will those, do you think, affect people in their tax filing for this year? Will that mean that they will get a bigger refund potentially or have more opportunities there? Or is that something that is only going to be, you know, down the line?
Well, I think that much like every time they have a tax change, you think like, oh, that means it's going to be better. But it doesn't always, because like on
Depends on your circumstances, right?
It's good here,
yeah.
But over here they took something away. So it ends up balancing it. And I always feel bad when people were, you know, expecting a large refund and then it's less and they're like, what happened? It's like, well, laws change. And when laws change, but I think for some people, it's going to be very advantageous because I believe there's an extra $6,000 credit if you're over 65, as long as you up till if you make $75,000 and then it like diminishes. But that's one of the things that I do like is that all throughout the year, when we get alerts about changes, because we get them every time a tax thing changes, anything that we think is going to affect, I'm going to say, the regular person or the person who's making under $69,000, we like to push that out on social media just because it's like, hey, here's a link, learn more. Because when you start reading through some of this stuff, you're like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
We're also working with, I just went to a Social Security seminar at the library, and they had asked if there are other organizations that might host another one. And Habitat is definitely going to do it because when I was in that room, I heard so many people saying like, oh, if I had only known that, I would have made a different choice.
Interesting. Yeah.
And so somebody goes, I was asking my staff, like, who would go? And the people under 40 are like, I don't need to know about that now. And I was like, actually, you do need to know about that now.
Yeah.
So I think my whole staff will do it. And then I was talking to a bunch of girlfriends and they're like, yeah, because I was just given two examples and they're like, well, oh my God, that could be something like what I would. I said, I know. And they're like, how come we don't learn that in school? I said, well, in high school, they're not going to, you don't care about Social Security then.
Yeah.
So, but it's all part of our financial education and coaching. It's like, it's not just about how do you do a budget and buy a house. It's how do you understand your whole financial picture, including tax implications, and how do you make your money work for you instead of being work against you.
Yeah. There are a lot of people that sort of, I'll just say, skate by and don't think about their finances very much, right? They're concentrating on the thing that they're doing.
Yep.
And, you know, the paychecks come in and they're not, you know, checking their pay stubs. I mean, that's pretty common, right?
Oh, yeah.
Not knowing whether they're putting enough away or whether the, you know, the numbers are correct. And only when it comes to tax time are they sort of dealing with that.
Yes. Absolutely, and that happens.
That's a real problem in a lot, but you know, it's part of our busy lives, and you know, we just sometimes don't have time to think about that, and then also the planning part of it.
Yeah.
Like you said, you know, if you're under 40, it doesn't mean you shouldn't be thinking about it. You should be thinking about it because that is the time to think about it.
Exactly.
You want to put that stuff in place so that later on you're all set,
exactly.
You know, or at least you're prepared in some ways. You can't be 100% prepared for this
stuff. One of the things I loved, I was down, RPI came over from Troy, New York, an engineering school, to build with us down in Great Barrington, and they were asking me questions, and I don't know exactly how we got on the topic, but we started talking about how to, like, you know, when they get out of college and they're analyzing which job offer to take. It's not necessarily just who gave you the most money. It's what benefits do they offer? Do they give you a matching IRA? Do they give you all of these things? And they're like, what do you mean? And so we ended up talking and they said, you know, we're smart and we're in college, but we haven't had any day-to-day practicality about these things. And so we ended up having a good conversation that day. And then also about, like, your first job, man, if they match something, max it out, because you had no income.
Yeah.
Right? So you can just live on, when you have it taken out of your paycheck and you never see it, you don't feel the loss.
Right.
It's when you see it and you build your budget to how much you come in, which I don't recommend, actually.
And you get used to spending. Right?
Yes,
I mean, that's the thing. If you can pull that back early,
that's
very advantageous. And like you said, pay yourself first.
Yep.
Put the money away first so that you don't notice it.
Yeah, that's, because at some point...
It's a discipline, though. It's really, really hard to do that.
It really is. But I always felt like the your first job is where you start that habit.
Yes, yeah.
You know?
And like you were saying, this all ties into the other work that you do with Habitat and with the folks that are going to be participating in and purchasing the homes, right? And and knowing how to budget and all that other stuff. So, again, we're talking about VITA, which is kind of this one tax time a year push for help for folks, but it really does extend to the rest of people's financial lives.
You're absolutely right. And the other thing that I love is I've been talking to a lot of the homeowners lately, and we're having an intern that's going to come and do work with Habitat, going back to all of the homeowners from the beginning of time and to see, like, okay, what has been the impact of having stable housing? And, you know, our program has changed a lot in the almost 35 years that we've been around. I mean, in the early days, you worked on building your house. Some nice volunteer helped you draft a budget, and that was a one session thing. Now we have 11 sessions, 2 hours each. You work with a coach. I mean, much more robust. So I wanted to see, like, is that having a bigger impact? And then also finding out, how did you first hear about this? What made you first want to be a homeowner? And I was talking to a couple of people the other day, and they said, oh, I heard about home ownership when I came to get my taxes done. And I was like, that was one of the reasons I wanted to do it, because I thought, and
it's a really good opportunity to
really
introduce
is.
People right to that concept.
Exactly. And the same thing with going through our financial education. Our next run of financial education start on Tuesday, February 23rd. They'll be held at the United Methodist Church of Lenox on Six Homes Road. One of the things I love about this facility is there's parking, and it's all on one floor, so it's very handicap accessible, nice big open room so you don't feel claustrophobic, and they have a big screen TV in order to have your worksheets or whatever. And then we have a host of guests that come in, including an appraiser, so that you understand what that's about. And it's really, we do a pre-survey and a post-survey, and people just really love it. And they said, you know, even if I wasn't thinking about buying a house, I should have already known so much of this stuff.
Yeah.
So we know those programs are highly effective. And even if somebody doesn't want to buy a house, you want to learn more, it's a great opportunity. And we won't say no. You don't have to be in the homeownership track in order to attend that, because we think it's an important life skill.
And is that a free workshop?
Free.
Free workshop. And give that date and time again.
It's February 24th.
Which is a what day?
It's a Tuesday.
Tuesday. Okay.
So it's every Tuesday. I believe it starts at 6 p.m. Pretty sure. 6 p.m. And it'll last
every
either.
Every Tuesday for how
every
long?
Every Tuesday for 11 weeks.
Wow. Okay.
Yep. The last session is like a graduation party kind of thing. So, because, you know, Habitat's about joy.
Yeah.
So, so when people finish that program, oftentimes they'll in the process of being approved for a home ownership. Right now we have a closing next Tuesday. I'm very excited for a new homeowner. And then we have two more in Pittsfield that are ranches up on Murphy Place, which is up on off. Closer to Bocona Street.
Yeah, I want to talk to you more about those in the second half, too.
Yep. And then we have six homes down in Housatonic. So there's the best opportunity since I've been here on my 19th year at Habitat to be able to buy a home. It's, you know, it used to be like you would get in the program, it would take a year and a half, 2 years. This way, for the most part, you will be able to be in a home in a very short period of time.
So a lot in the pipeline.
A lot in the pipeline.
Yeah. Carolyn Valley is my guest here this morning on Morning Drive, if you're just joining us. And this is on Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM and 88.1 WSBR. And let's talk about back to Vita for a minute, because we're still talking about that. Very critical service during this tax period. We talked about the qualifications for it. What are some of the qualifications for your volunteers? I know you have some very long-running volunteers that come back every year to do this. What kind of training do they have to have? What kind of experience they have to navigate? Because they'll have to learn all these new tax rules that come through all the time too, right?
Yes. So if you're a brand new tax preparer, you will probably put in about 20 hours of training. Mm. You have to go through the testing of the IRS. Mm. We have people that help you navigate how to use it's called Tax Slayer, computer program. Yeah. But it's really about knowing where things go, what rule goes with what. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of training for that. And then most of our preparers are at the advanced level.
Okay.
We just feel like that gives the most knowledge. Mm-hmm. So you can be a first year and just do basic. And people that are just doing basic are just doing that. You know, the person's got a W-2, mm-hmm. not much else. And then
nice and simple.
And then we have somebody that's a tax reviewer, mm-hmm. and they review all of the tax returns to make sure everything's fine. And then on top of that, we have the finalizer. Hmm. So the finalizer is the person that would meet with you directly and say,
I think in movie terms, that's the closer.
The closer, right? yeah. We call it the finalizer. And then they hit the button to put it off.
Yeah.
And all of them, you know, many of them are putting in so many hours every week. Mm. And that's true both in Pittsfield and in Great Barrington, because we have a location at the Mason Library.
Yep.
We have two site coordinators in Pittsfield, a site coordinator in Great Barrington, and they have to have additional training. Mm.
What are some of their backgrounds? Where do they come from? Are they retired?
A lot of folks are retired.
Yeah.
A lot of folks will work in the evenings so that they can do it in the daytime. A lot. I used to think like, oh, you have to be really good in math.
Mm-hmm. That's what I would think too.
But you really don't. Mm. What you have to be really good at is attention to detail and being able to take what you see and put it where it belongs. Mm. So they're not the ones that are doing it with a piece of paper or pencil and saying this is what you owe. They're putting it in the system in the right thing. You do need to know what questions to ask if you see something, and then listen, you know. And what I love about our volunteers is they're very empathetic. Hmm. You know, like one of the things you hear at tax time is sometimes how hard people's lives are, you know, and the volunteers, especially if they're doing one-on-ones, are so incredibly compassionate. Hmm. And I often say, like, we should have so much chocolate in this office, because, you know, after you hear a lot of stories, you know, and sadness sometimes, it can take a toll, but they are so resilient and so wonderful and so giving. Oh, we also are doing a location at Greylock on Wednesdays at Greylock Community Empowerment Center on Wednesdays from 10 a.m. to 2:30. So that's another location that people can do it.
Oh, wow. So you've got the Columbus Ave office.
Yep, 314 Columbus.
Right. Great Barrington.
Great Barrington at the Mason Library.
Mm-hmm.
Greylock at Kellogg Street.
And then, only on a particular day?
Only on Wednesdays.
Only on Wednesdays. And what times can people
10,
come?
10 to 2:30.
Mm-hmm. And those are for the appointments, right?
Those are for the appointments, yeah.
But if you just want to arrange it to call ahead and say, I'd like to drop it off and then come back for an appointment, you can do that anytime during those times?
Correct. Right. And if you want to do just a drop off, the easiest thing is just to go to our office, because we're open Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. Mm. And then Thursdays from 8 a.m. to 4:30, and then Fridays from 8 a.m. to noon. Our office for other things is open till 4:30 on Friday, but noon is when the tax people are off after that.
And I would imagine.
We also do MCLA. We have a relationship with one of the professors of accounting at MCLA, and she has her students do them.
Oh, wow.
And those are all in person there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
there is support up in North County as well.
Yeah.
Great. It's just amazing. And what about more complex tax returns, because we talked about the simple ones where someone has a W-2, or, you know, Social Security income or something like that, and it's
pretty much straightforward. Yeah, there are some things that are considered out of scope. So, like, a small business would be out of scope.
So, and if you're running a small business, let's face it, you probably already have a tax professional that you have to work with, right?
Or if you don't, you should.
Yeah.
The other thing that we usually do after tax season is when we start looking at what were the most common things that, like, people didn't have or didn't know how to do. A few years ago, what we found was people that were private care or CNAs that worked for individual people, they did not realize they were going to get 1099'd. Ah. So they weren't collecting. So we can do 1099s. Yeah. That's not a problem.
But there's no withholdings.
And that comes as a surprise. Mm-hmm. And then, well, if you're going from client to client, well, when you get to your first client, you don't get to take that for mileage. But when you're going from client to client, you do. So we had a workshop afterwards saying, like, if you have something like this, these are the ways to collect the things. Here's how you do it year round. Here's a file folder and how to do it. And just educating them on how much they should be withholding out of each check that they get, so that it's not going to be a big surprise at the end of tax season.
Then that goes back to the discipline we were talking before, right?
Yeah.
And education and training and understanding how this stuff works. Because especially if you're, I think if you're younger and maybe that's the first way that you're getting paid, that you're not working for a company, but you're kind of freelancing or you're, you know, you're just getting paid with a 1099, which is just miscellaneous income.
Yep.
You know, no one's holding back any federal, state taxes, any Medicare, Social Security. You're going to owe all of that, you know, at the end of the year, and it's going to be a big shock where you've probably, if you earned it in February, March, April, by the time the next year comes around, that money's gone.
Yeah.
You've spent it. You had that money in your pocket, and you're like, I've got all this money.
Yeah.
This is great. I'm going to go out and buy that thing I want. And,
exactly.
And you didn't realize that the tax man cometh.
Yes. And I also find sometimes it's funny, especially, it's usually with our older folks. They will have a box that probably every one of their bills comes in.
Yeah.
And when they get it, they just throw it in the box.
Mm-hmm.
So when they come for tax, and they always want an appointment.
It used to be an old shoe box.
Yeah. Well, now they're much bigger boxes. and they'll come in with this big box, and I'll go like, what is that? It's all of my papers for the whole year.
Just all in a pile.
All in a box. So that's always a puzzling time, but
so organization is also good, right?
Organization is also good, yeah.
Knowing what paperwork comes in. Now, is there a list of some kind that
people can get? Yes, it's on our website.
Okay, well, we should probably mention the website.
Yeah, berkshirehabitat.org. Nobody's going to be able to see this, but it's in English and in Spanish.
Great.
But it lists exactly what you need to bring. And if you bring all of these things in, it makes it go much smoother. Mm. And if you are a renter, knowing how much your rent is important, because for Massachusetts, that's a deduction.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of things that they ask you questions about. If you, even if you got a small amount of interest on a savings account, you would get a 1099 INT. So be on the lookout for any of those forms that look like tax forms.
Yeah.
Keep them all together.
Like mortgage interest deduction,
mortgage interest, for example,
is another one, right?
That's another big one. If you own a home, your real estate tax bill, your water and sewer bill. I mean, most people take a standard deduction because that's pretty substantial.
And they've increased that over the last few years, too, right? Where
it used to be,
it was really a choice. You might be able to itemize, which means that you'd have to keep track of a lot of things.
Right.
A lot of little things, and that shoebox or whatever of papers would come in really handy. But now they've increased that standard deduction, which covers, it's like an umbrella that covers all of that. And that's gone way up in the last few years. So chances are most people that are going to come in, they're going to qualify for that standard deduction. It's just going to just cover all, and then negate all of those other little deductions. Right.
Right. Where I see if you've had a lot of medical or dental things, because those are all so expensive, sometimes that'll be like, if you know, oh my God, I just spent a ton of money on medical or dental, then you might qualify for the extra, you know, like going above it and doing that worksheet for that. So, but those are, I mean, that list is very comprehensive, and, you know, you can just print it out. And what I was doing, because I'm helping my son get his things together, and I just have my list, and I'm like, what does he have? Okay, he's got it. All right, great. Needs one more thing, and then he can have it dropped off at the Vita.
Really, really great place to start.
Yes, it really
organizing
is.
And just a little bit. It doesn't even have to be a huge amount. Just something that you've gotten some prepared so that you're not making multiple trips, right? And oh, you forgot this, so we're going to have to go back and look for that. And see if you can pull it all together. Makes the process go much better.
And it makes the turn times very quick because now we've actually changed our process a little bit too. So when your intake form comes in, if you're dropping it off, Alyssa, who's one of the site coordinators, will say, before you go, let me just go through it. Mm-hmm. And she'll look to make sure that everything is there. And if she doesn't, she'll say, here's your packet back. This is the only thing you need. Bring it back. In the old days, we would hold their packet for them to bring it. And then we'd be like, why are these people still? And then, you know, you have to chase them down and everything. So.
And you get piles and piles, right? You don't want the piles.
Exactly.
All right. Carolyn Valley, my guest here this morning from Central Berkshire Habitat for Humanity. She's the CEO. We're talking about the Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program, or VITA. It already began. It's already running, up and running, right? It looks like began January 26th here. And been running for over 12 years doing this?
Yes, 12
Amazing.
Years. And the last day for drop-offs is April 3rd this year.
Okay.
So
So you don't have till April 15th if you want to use VITA, because they've got to get this work done.
Exactly.
You can't expect them to miracle workers here, right? Yeah.
Well,
And we do have to take our top of the hour break.
Oh, good.
So let's do that. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about this and then some of the really exciting stuff that Habitat has got going on here in the entire county, certainly in Pittsfield, some in Southern Berkshire County as well. Lots of things and opportunities for new homeowners and the whole process. We'll talk all about that in just a minute, but we'll take that break now. This is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sondrini.com.
We all know WTBR is great to listen to on 89.7 FM, but did you know that you can listen to WTBR just about anywhere? We've got a web stream, and it's easy to use. Go to WTBRFM.com on your computer and click play. You can use the TuneIn app on your smartphone and connect it to your car's sound system. Or you can use your smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, play WTBRFM, and there's your community radio station. WTBR, for the love of radio.
Hi, I'm Leslie Hertzberg, Executive Director of the Berkshire County Historical Society. Spring through fall, we look forward to welcoming you for tours of Herman Melville's historic home, Arrowhead. We offer a wide variety of in-person and virtual programs throughout the year. Visit berkshirehistory.org for information on programs and to schedule a tour.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Larry Kratka here on WTBR, and I want to tell you about my show, Sweet Country Music. Now, every Sunday morning from 11 a.m. until noon, I'll play some of the best classic country artists like Merle Haggard, Dolly Parton, Johnny Cash, Patsy Cline, and many more. I'll play nothing before 2008. Please join me Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. for the next edition of Sweet Country Music here on 89.7 WTBR FM, for the love of radio.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Cabin All right. Welcome back to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, 88.1 WSBR in Lee, Lenox, and Stockbridge. And thanks again for joining us here Friday, the 13th of February, and Valentine's Day just a day away. We'll be right back with our conversation with Carolyn Valley in just a moment here. And first, let's get to the weather forecast one more time and let you know what we've got on tap for the weather for at least for the next 36 hours or so. Here we go.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, sunny, cold with highs in the upper 20s. Northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Wind chill values as low as 2 below this morning. Tonight, mostly cloudy. Cold with lows around 12. West wind 5 to 10 miles per hour, becoming southwest after midnight. Saturday, partly sunny. Highs in the mid-30s. West wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Gusts up to 25 miles per hour in the afternoon. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, there you have it. So no deep freeze coming. We're kind of getting used to those colder temperatures overnight and in the morning. And no big storms on the horizon right now, which is also nice for now. But we know it's only the middle of February, for God's sake. We're going to get more snow. It's just going to happen. We know that being here in the Berkshires, especially in March.
Yes.
March is always the Lucy with the football to me. It's like, you think you're getting to spring. Nope.
Yep.
Here comes 24 inches of snow.
Yeah. I always say March is the worst snow month for us.
I don't know why either, but some of those biggest storms happen in March. Yeah. So I just always
watch it. Seems to happen after we have that beautiful 1 week of spring thaw.
Right.
It's like, it's right here. Yep. And then it's like, psh!
Or even like April 1st. I remember that storm.
I do too.
Yeah. So
April Fool's.
Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't fooling.
No, it was not any fun either. Yeah. All right. Well, Carolyn Valley, thanks again for being here this morning. Always glad to talk to you about stuff. Do we have a couple more items for Vita that we want to talk about before we move on to the other?
Well, one of the things that Sean and I were just talking about is if you're an elderly person and you own a home, sometimes people will say, you don't have to file a tax thing, especially if it was your accountant or something, because, they charge you for it, right? But you might be eligible for a circuit breaker tax credit if you're a homeowner and you're elderly. And there's a benefit when you're doing it through the free site because you don't have to pay for it so that you're still going to get your money back. And we have some volunteers that feel pretty strongly about making sure that you go ahead and file your taxes anyway because of the fact that it protects your identity. Because if you stop filing your taxes and somebody gets your Social Security, it will take a long time to find out that, that's going on.
Interesting. Yeah. So good news there. Yep. Good information for that. Because certainly a lot of people have heard that I never heard that before, that one time. And then I guess there is a time when someone doesn't need to file taxes anymore at a certain point in their life. But apparently that's a good idea to maybe continue to do that. Good to know.
Yep.
All right. So let's talk about house building. And there's some stuff going on.
Oh, my gosh.
If you're watching, you guys do a great job on social media. So
Thanks, Aaron.
We see a lot of really good and great images and pictures and videos of things happening with your organization. And one of them caught my eye yesterday, and that was the Taconic High School carpentry CTE students working on a site. And I think it was Curtis Ave.
Curtis Terrace.
Or Curtis Terrace.
Yep.
So tell us about that project.
So that's our stick build in Pittsfield for this year. Okay. We are hoping that there'll be enough work for the Taconic students for the two-year period, the two-school year, so it'll be spring of 2027. But it's a great partnership. We've always partnered with Taconic on our builds for years. But our construction manager said, you know what I'd really love to do, because we were building so many houses, is to give them a project. You know, we still have involvement in it, but really have them own it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have them be able to see that at the end of the day, 99% of that work was theirs, And the Taconic Carpentry Program and the Electrical Program is so robust at Taconic now, which I'm so proud of. And so we have Mikkel Electric is partnering with the electrical department at Taconic to do all the wiring. So once it's all enclosed, the kids will get to have real life experience. And it's very different learning how to do something on a circuit board and then learning how it actually goes into a house.
Oh, absolutely.
So they were on, they've been on this on site, and they were a little disappointed. But one of the rules is that if it's under 20 below, they can't go to the job site. So we've had a lot of below 20 degrees.
Yeah.
But they have made, you know, even
so
when
20 degrees or below,
or
not,
below.
Not 20 below.
Yeah, no,
yeah,
20
yeah,
degrees
yeah.
or below,
that,
they can't be on the job site.
We've certainly had a lot of that.
We have. Yeah. So they probably had at least, you know, 5 days that they weren't able to be, maybe more than that, that they weren't able to be at the house. And so I think they were so excited yesterday because they put the trusses on. Mm. And that's not something usually a Taconic student would ever get to do.
Okay, cool.
And they look so professional and, you know, hardworking. I love their teachers. Mm. The teachers are very focused on safety and good work practices. I know my team loves being over there. And you know, I was telling you that we kind of have our eye out. We're going to need an apprentice at the end of the school year. So if there's a senior and I said to Joe, hey, check those seniors out and see. And I'd like to be able to build in taking an apprentice every year.
Yeah. What a great experience for these students, though, right? Because, again, it's one thing to do it in a classroom or to see it on a piece of paper or just to sort of mock things up. And it's another thing to see an actual house going together and being on that team, right? And got professionals along with you. You're mentoring. You're learning from them. That's a real life experience. Yeah. You can't replace that.
You can't. And the thing that I like about that site in particular was it's not a – it's not an easy flat site, right? So they had to learn, and they were there when the foundation was poured, which is a step down foundation. So they had to learn how do you build that out?
Okay.
How do you learn all of that and help with all of that?
Tell us where Curtis Terrace is.
Curtis
for
Terrace
that don't
is
know.
Off of Tyler Street.
Okay.
So you're going, depending on which way you're going, it's before the Rotary. If you're going towards Dunkin' Donuts.
Okay.
It's shortly after the Rotary if you're going the other way.
Mm, okay.
And it's going sort of up the hill.
Okay.
So it was one of the projects that we were able to get the land and through the city, which was really helpful.
And this was a previous spot where there had been a house.
A house in the past, yeah. So, but it had already been knocked down.
Yeah.
So that makes it much more helpful for us to be able to do that. And so we kept trying to figure out, well, what kind of house would be best there? Mm. And then we just spent a lot of time looking at the neighborhood and said, what exactly will fit in? And we came up with this nice walkout ranch kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll look like was built exactly for that neighborhood because that's what it was.
Yeah.
You know.
And I would think a lot of the houses in that neighborhood, that's an older neighborhood of the city of Pittsfield, right?
Yep.
Morningside neighborhood, Tyler Street, places like that. So you would expect that there would be a lot of houses in the same era.
Yeah.
And probably also, I mean, this is, you know, being a new house will modernize a lot of things. And the more of those that we have in the city will be great because I know that we sort of suffer from an older housing stock here in the city, right? It's just one of those cities. Because we've been around a while, we're going to have a lot of older houses.
And what we've found over the years with Habitat is when we come in and build a new house, all of a sudden the people around it, nobody wants to be the worst looking house on the street. So all of a sudden you'll see like, oh, people are painting. People are doing this. People are putting in little flowers in the front. So it's like, it feels like when they see that positive energy coming in, they rise to it. I know the neighbors have been marvelous there. I love that so much. And also the fact that, you know, in the past, we've had times that we've worked with Taconic and one of the students, their parents bought a Habitat home.
No kidding.
So
that's great. What a great outcome.
Yeah, exactly. And I always joke, I'm thinking about one person in particular who knows who he is. And I would just say like, well, you know, that's going to be your job maintaining that, right? So he's like, yeah. I say, well, then learn how to do it well.
Right.
So that's the thing.
So many skills going back and forth there, right? Not only the homeowners and maintaining their property and being a part of the building of the property, but also here are the Taconic students and vocational education and really cementing the practices of putting this together. So much going into the practice of putting a house on a lot.
Yes, it really is. It's so holistic because the kids got to learn about blueprints. So it's not just about how do you hammer a piece of wood. It's like how it's a building science, right? And they learn the science of it. And I know in past years we've had folks that said, you know, I thought I was going to be interested in this part of it, but I'm really interested in the electricity part of it. Mm-hmm. Like, so, and now we've got this great opportunity with Taconic to learn more about the electrical. And hopefully someday in the future, we'll have plumbing here in the Berkshires. That would be awesome.
It sounds like that's in the works right now at Taconic, which is another great thing. And you know, it's not long ago. It was only 8 years ago where the new Taconic High School was built. There was no electrical program. So that's a very recent addition, and it's just ballooned and blossomed there at Taconic High School. The number of programs, I think they're up to 15 or 16 different vocational programs, and a huge demand.
Yes.
They've got people that are trying to get into that school from all over the county.
Yes.
Really.
And it's I feel like it's a great shout out for collaboration because we Habitat Service Enterprise or Community Enterprise, Taconic, BCC, Westside Legends, a whole bunch of us had been working for almost 2 years on trying to figure out where this gap is between what we have for trades, how do we get people into that pipeline, all of that, where are the barriers, what can we do, how can we do it together? And it was through a lot of those conversations that we were like, well, why can't we do this? Why can't we have an evening of program? Why can't we do that? And just kind of talking through that. And Tammy Gage is a great, great advocate, really forward thinking and everything. And she was like, you know, they went after a grant to be able to expand out into the electrical and everything. So I really feel like there's this open opportunity. And one of the things I think the Berkshires is known for in the state is how well we cooperate together. You know, and I think part of it is because we only have us, you know, all the bigger things is in Boston. So we either know how to work together or learn how to work together. So,
and also being sort of this area between two larger metropolitan areas, you know, the Albany area, which we're sort of a part of with our television markets and things, and the Pioneer Valley, which we also don't feel too much a part of. It's one of those places over there that we go visit sometimes, but really we're all we got.
So I just am so excited that we're really taking this dwindling amount of tradespeople we have. We have a lot of people with a lot of knowledge that are retiring. And I think right now the goal is to get like 10 journeymen a year in plumbing and electricians in electrical in order to be able to meet the needs of the future. But one of the other problems that exist is that you, by law, you can only have one apprentice to one master.
Okay.
So that means... And
why
have
is
to get
Star
8,000
Wars
hours
thing popping into my head right now?
Exactly,
right?
And it's the apprentices have to do 8,000 hours in the field.
Wow.
So that's a long time.
That's years.
Yeah. So one of the things that we've been talking about is how do we advocate for this change in the law? Because we all know when that law was written, long time ago, and I could see why that was good back then.
Sure.
But you know, like with anything else, times are changing, and we need to change with them.
And we can't leave it so that we have a deficit in these areas, right?
Because that's why building costs, that's one of the reasons building costs are so expensive right now.
And I know we've talked in the past also about, you know, we had many interviews here through the pandemic era and the supply shortages and the cost of building materials and things. How is that all working out right now with your projects? Has that leveled out a little bit more than it was, or is it still a big issue?
It's still a big issue, and some of the unexpected costs are because of changing building codes. Because it seems like every time there's a change in the building code, it comes with an increased dollar amount. And then, like, one of the things is to have all electric homes. While I understand the theory behind it, I don't necessarily know that when they decided to change the building code, they actually asked anybody that was a builder, what would the impact of that be? So from what I'm seeing is there's an impact on the families because when you have all electric heat and only electric heat, that's you're at the mercy of the electric company.
Absolutely.
And
electric rates in this area are very, very high compared to other parts of the country.
Exactly. But good news, I was on, you know, I'm always trying to figure out, like, is there another way, a better way? I was on an hour and a half thing about HVAC pumps yesterday.
Okay.
And I was like,
you know how to party.
Oh, yeah. I was like, oh, my God. And then, you know, they ask you these questions, and other people are smart enough not to put their answer in the chat. I was like, I put my answer in the chat. And she goes, oh, aren't you a brave soul? And I was like, I was wrong. I just know it's going to come out. I was wrong. So one of the things that I was so excited about is if you have a new home and you have mini splits or heat pumps, mm-hmm. you can apply with your electric company to get a special rate for that.
Okay.
And nobody, I mean, I found out about it yesterday.
Wow.
And it's been around for a while. And
but
I thought, how many.
You have to apply for it. It doesn't automatically apply to
no.
you.
No. I mean, in theory, it's supposed to, but we're not seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're on an R1, which is if you look at your electric bill, you'll see it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a simple process. And it's not regulated by your income.
Mm.
Or anything. You can just go in and see if you're eligible and put it through. And
so that means if you're heating with
your mini splits,
Okay.
And all the new homes have to.
Yeah.
Because you don't have another option.
Well, that's the question. The homes that you're building right now through those building codes,
mm-hmm.
are there any gas lines or oil or anything like that?
Nope,
you can't bring any of that in?
Nope. You can only have electric.
Wow.
That's a requirement of a new construction.
Amazing.
So,
I learned something here today. I did not know.
Yeah.
So if you had an existing, let's say, foundation that already has all those utilities, gas, and whatever else, can you hook up to it, or do you have to not do that?
I
didn't mean to stump you.
No, I'm just trying to think what the pathway would be if it was already there.
Yeah.
I don't know that.
Yeah, I would.
But Jeff Clements at the building, he's the building commissioner. He would know.
I'll have to have him on the show.
Have
sometime.
Him on the show.
That would be a fascinating show.
Yeah. Yeah, I would love to be here with him.
Well, maybe we can arrange that. That sounds like fun.
Yeah.
But I can imagine that just following all the new codes, and codes change all the time, right?
Yeah.
Almost like the tax preparers.
Yes.
You have to stay up on this stuff.
Yeah. And you know, so there's a requirement now that you have a hookup for electric vehicles.
Okay.
So, I mean, I know that they
have that pre-wired.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But even just that box is like $750 for the box itself, and then you have to have that's an added charge for the electrician.
Yeah,
and
the wiring,
everything. And then you now have to have a conduit so that you could someday in the future have solar. I would love if there was a way to have solar on every house.
Wouldn't that be
especially
great?
When they have to have electric heat.
Yeah.
So Senator Paul Mark is working on a green bill around that. Mm. And I fully support like anything that we can do. Mm. Like if they made a rule that the only option you have is electric, then they need to have a rule that says, how do we get solar on your house so it doesn't cost so much?
Right.
But the grid is also not really, I mean, we've heard that connections to the grid aren't easy, you know, a lot of different things.
Yeah.
So I feel like we're progressive in so many ways in Massachusetts, but sometimes I think we're a little too ahead of the game before we're looking at, do we have all the pieces in place to make it all connect?
Yeah. Yeah. Some of that policy lags a little bit, knowing that you have some goals and you want to achieve those, but okay, hold on.
Yeah.
What's that going to mean for people?
Exactly.
You do have to ask those questions.
Yeah.
Carolyn Valley, my guest here this morning on Morning Drive, CEO of Central Berkshire Habitat for Humanity. Couple of open houses coming up.
Yeah.
You've got 21 and 23 Murphy Place, I see.
Yes.
And that, tell us where that is in Pittsfield.
That's, if you're driving up past the hospital,
mm-hmm.
it's the next street after Burke Ave.
Mm-hmm.
There's a pizza place on the bottom.
Okay.
And then there's also the intersection of Wacona.
Yeah.
So you just go up there and it's on the left-hand side.
Okay.
What's unique about that property, it's a two-unit condo.
Mm-hmm.
And I do want to explain
it's
something about...
It's like a duplex? Not really. Yeah.
So one of the things we used to always build the two-unit condos with a common wall. So when we would have focus groups, people were like, you know what, when we have a common wall, it feels too much like renting.
Ah.
I was like, oh, okay. So we had a little mind meld, and I was like, okay, so now we're going to have a connector walkway that connects the two individual units, because that still counts as a two-unit. So it still meets the code that we need to meet.
Yep. But an air gap, essentially.
But there's
a
space you can use for whatever.
Yeah.
So with that being said, we were like, okay, that's great. And we had it, we have it for our Robbins Avenue. And mm-hmm. that's gone over super well also. And the nice thing about the Curtis Terrace is we've got the two houses, and the way that the land topography is, it's got like a leg. Mm-hmm. So there's all of this opportunity for, you know, if the two homeowners would like to put up a little, you know, jungle gym or have extra parking or, you know, they've got the space to do it.
Okay.
So that's really nice.
So the floor plans and designs and geography and everything, all of those things figures into this.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And so they're ranches. So I think they lend themselves to folks that don't want to do stairs. Like someday I'm not going to want to do stairs. So I think that that's important. Mm-hmm. But we do look at what people think on social media. And some people are like, well, you don't own the land that your house is on when you're in a condominium. Hmm. And I would challenge that by saying, no, you own the land that all the houses are on, right?
Right.
So in Housatonic, there's 7.5 acres.
Hmm.
You all together own 7.5 acres.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody ever says, like, I'm going to keep my house and sell the land out from under me.
Right.
Like, nobody does that.
No.
Like, it's not a thing.
No.
And the other benefit is when the condominium association owns the land, and Habitat is a nonprofit that's part of that, they don't tax you on the land.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes your tax bills.
Through your HOA fee or your condo fee or whatever. Right?
Well, you pay, they value it differently.
Okay.
So you don't pay as much in taxes.
Okay.
So it's a tax benefit, which leads to more affordability.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people don't understand that concept.
Yeah.
And I thought this would be a good opportunity for folks to get that.
Huh.
And even that sort of probably sounds complex,
mm-hmm.
but we are having a series of information sessions that we'll be talking about different things. We usually are schedule these things for these really long, we'll do Zoom meetings, and they're really long because you're supposed to cover so many things. And what we found is that the more information you give to people in one sitting, the less that they can comprehend. So we decided, like, there's nothing saying we can't break all of these into smaller parts, do a Zoom orientation, and then when we have open houses, we have people there you can ask questions of. It's not like you just walk through the house. There's people. Chris is great.
You get some one-on-one time.
You get
right?
one-on-one yeah. time. You can, and then we also like to ask questions like, what about this house do you like? What about this house do you not like?
Mm-hmm.
So that when we go for our next set, we're like always looking at improvement. Like, what do people want? Sometimes these are forever homes. Sometimes they're not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you know,
is there a minimum amount of time that someone has to spend in a house that they get through Habitat for Humanity? Do you want some sort of a buy-in investment time period?
So, well, yes and no. Hmm. So the yes part of it is it's financially smart for you to stay in a minimum of 5 years.
Sure.
And the reason for that is many times there's subsidies that we get that are repayable to they don't necessarily get it from us. Like, I'll use the example of Mass Housing. If they got a $30,000 down payment assistance loan for Mass Housing, if you sell it in a certain period of time, you will have to pay it back. So there's a thought process about, you know, and we go
it's
over
an
that.
It's an incentive, right?
It's an incentive. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Habitat always has the first right of refusal. So if you got an offer on your house and we wanted to buy it back, we could buy it back.
Okay.
That has ever happened? Once. It has happened once in my 19 years, and that was because the primary breadwinner got a job as a teacher in Iowa.
Oh, so not much you can do
not
about
much.
That. Right.
So I was like, and it was much more advantageous for us to buy it back than try to build a new house that year.
But it sounds like the investment and the buy-in for the folks that take advantage of this is strong, right?
Yes.
That they've got a bond to this house, to this home, really, for them. And
when
so
they help build
they're incentivized
it, they,
to stay.
Yeah, and when they've helped build it, they feel very connected to it. Because, you know, they remember, oh, when did I put that window in? You know, how did I do that?
Yeah.
And sometimes we have days where their kids can be. Like, we had a paint clinic a couple of weeks ago, and the older teenage kids all came. And I heard that they just had a blast, and And I said, you know, that'll be a memory that they'll have. Absolutely. Like, I learned how to paint in my house.
Only that, a skill, because, hey, you know, no matter where you live, at some point you're going to paint something.
Exactly.
I guarantee you.
Yeah. And learning how to do it correctly is a really good idea.
Yeah.
Really good idea.
Other than just sort of picking it up and making the mistakes and, you know, fumbling through it, which is what a lot of us do.
So, exactly.
Very cool. Well, Carolyn Valley, great to talk to you as always. Coming to the end of the show here.
Yeah.
How can people get a hold of you and your organization, especially about VITA or the open houses or anything we talked about today?
So you can go to berkshirehabitat.org, and that has the VITA list. It has all the phone numbers, but the phone number specifically for VITA is 442-3184. Our main office line is 442-3181, and you'll hear a variety of extensions. Mm-hmm. So we try to say what department it is.
Okay.
So like if you want to go to community navigation, it'll say if you need a Spanish-speaking community navigator, this is the one or whatever.
We're going to have to leave it there.
Okay.
BerkshireHabitat.org. Is that right?
Yes.
Did I get it right? Okay.
You got it.
All right, everybody. Have a great weekend. Morning drive's over. Take care.
Thank you.